A very good evening to you all, dear brothers. And in Christ, we thank our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for giving it an opportunity to share His wonderful words of life. So, dear brothers and sisters, so as we all studied a few days before, that the human soul dies and man himself is a soul and he doesn't have soul. So if soul dies, then what goes to hell or heaven? So that has to be very clarified. So today, we'll take a very important subject called as hell. So we'll go for a tour of hell and see what the Bible says about hell. So generally, the thought about hell is that hell is a place of torment. You see, where all the wicked go. And they are put into the lake of fire and tortured slowly. They are burnt. You see, day and night they are tortured. They are burnt. You see, in brimstone and fire. And there is no relief. Even after they are screaming, crying to God for help. There is no mercy that is shown to them. And there are also the worms in hell. You see, the worms never die and the fire is never quenched. So in hell, there are actually different categories and different department, different sections to give punishment for the sinners based upon the sins which they committed on this earth. You see, some people are put into, boiling water or boiling oil and deep fried. You see, some people are put into hot water, very, very hot, and they are dipped and fried. And even after, in spite of crying and weeping, they are not freed. And the eyes are plucked for some people who are sinned with their eyes, And those people who are told lies and, backbiten, their teeth will be plucked, their tongues are, plucked out. And some people, the skins are peeled, they are put into hard labor, where there are, made to work very heavily without any rest. And some people are put into, poisonous snakes and various types of poisonous reptiles like scorpions. They're allowed to bait them. So this is the idea about hell. The sinners who never accepted Jesus as a savior will go to hell. And hell is a prison. And Jesus daily visits hell, to take account of what all has happened in hell. How many souls came in today? So many souls are tortured. And what is the result of it? And daily account is taken by Jesus, it seems. So who is the in charge of hell? If you see, the devil himself is the great, emperor. He's a great ruler, he's a great in charge of that hell, and God himself has given that in charge to the devil. So his duty is to go to the world and pick up all the dead souls and bring them to judgment before Christ, And Christ opens the book of life and judges every man according to his deeds. So whosoever has sinned as per the book of life, they will be judged. They will be put to hellfire. And whosoever souls have lived a holy life, they will go to paradise, and to live with Christ. So this judgment of, will happen when everybody will stand in the queue. The books of life will be opened, the sinners will go to hell and the saints will go to, heaven. So, and daily, it is the duty of the devil, the Satan, to come and give account to God. See, this idea is God from the scriptures that is mentioned in the book of Job. All the angels came to give account to God. So similarly, Satan also came to God to give account. And let us see that verse that is given to us in the book of Job, first chapter, verse 6 and 7. Emmanuel, brother, can you read Job, first chapter 6 and 7, brother?
Job, first chapter 6 and 7. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, And the Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it.
Very good, Buddha. So here we see clearly, you see the conversation between God and the angels. You see, and when all the angels came to submit to God, you see, dear Buddha, and that time, you see, who also came, it seems. Satan also came, it seems. And the Lord asked Satan, you see, where are you coming from? And he really clearly said that I am coming from going to and fro all through the earth, it seems. So here we see that as all the angels are giving account to God, you see, so similarly, Satan is also coming and giving account to God about what all things is done on earth. So, dear brethren, so based on these scriptures, you see, many people think that it is the Satan's responsibility to bring all those souls to be punished in hell because they committed sin against God. Okay, if this is true, that all the sinners go to hell and all the holy people go to heaven, who is the greatest of all the sinners? You see, it is the devil himself, Satan himself. So forget about Satan torturing all the souls, the wicked souls. First of all, he himself should be tortured. He himself should be put to, you see, hellfire, because he is the root and cause of sin. He is the master, he is the devil, he is the father of lies. But we never see that, you see, that Satan is put into hell and he is tortured, you see. And moreover, you see, punishing a man eternally forever and ever without any number of years, infinite number of years, for the sins they have committed on this earth for a short span of period. Is it really, you see, make justice? Does it really make justice? Does it really, you see, justified before God, who is the just God? Imagine, you see, how much can a man sin? Now, let us just think it over and see. See, a man can sin only from the period of life to death. You see, only during that period, he can commit sin against God. Imagine a man, if he is going to live for 100 years, let us assume and let us see and calculate how many years can he sin against God. Okay? Let us imagine if a man is living for 100 years. Okay? That's more than what we expected. Today, lifespan is not more than, you see, 60, 70. You see, 100 years and all is beyond our imagination. So let us assume that each and every man in this world stays for 100 years. Okay? That means in one day, there are 24 hours. So in 24 hours, 8 hours man takes to sleep and 8 hours he goes for work. So it is balance 8 hours that man which he dedicates himself for sin. So let us assume, you see, man is having completely 8 hours only for committing sin. Okay, though it is not a practical situation, you see, because all the other things, eating, you see, bathing himself, getting himself ready, all the household activities, all those things has to be done in 8 hours. So let us assume he doesn't have any other work. He just goes to work and come and he sleeps. And remaining 8 hours, he commits sin. That means one third of his life, he commits sin. So one third of his life means what? 34% of his life, if he commits sin. In 100 years, that means 34 years he has committed sin. Okay. For 34 years of sin, you know, how much years should God actually punish him? It should be really for 34 years or 35 years, not more than that. But how wise and how correct and how just is it for God to punish a man who has committed sin only for just a short span of period? You see, continuously, eternity to eternity, without any giving forgiveness. Is it, you see, correct? Does it really make any good sense about God's justice, dear brethren? We all know about so many incidents that has happened in all over the world. See, once the Sabarmati Express at Godhra caught fire. You see, one bogie full of people were burnt alive. You know, there was fire all around. Within few minutes, the fire engulfed the coach completely, and fire. The people try to escape, they try to go on the upper berth. There also fire is there. The whole bogey is made of iron. The iron got so heated. You see, wherever they go, they went to the toilet, they went in under the seat. Wherever they went, it was only fire. And within few minutes, Devadran, all the people be burnt. You can see some of the images here. Devadran, seeing these images, what do we feel? You see, we never feel satisfied because the unbelievers are good, they died, very good, let them die, let them suffer. No! Devadran, you see, once as fire broke out at a Kumbhakarna school, the kids were eating food. You see, the roof, you see, fell upon them, and small children, you see, Devadran, they were half burnt. Some people died, but some people were alive. The children were crying so much. You see, the hospital was full echoing with, you see, the weeping and the crying of the parents. So, yo, doctor, please help my son. Please help me. What can a doctor do? If they touch the skin, it so becomes so soft. Not even injection can be given to the other end. You see, and the children are crying in pain. Oh, mommy, please save me. Daddy, please help. Oh, doctor, please help. Dear brethren, you see, seeing that pathetic condition, you know, they were just, you see, burned only for a few minutes, not even 5 to 10 minutes, only just few minutes. You see, the scene, you see, is very difficult to see. Then, dear brethren, we as sinners, you see, can't see these things, are not able to bear these things. And how about the just God, the loving God, loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son to save us, can make a hell for all the universe of this world, dear brethren. You know, Hitler killed 60 lakh Jews systematically. He slaughtered 60 lakh Jews without mercy. He burned them alive. Each and every body was post-mortem. Each and every skeleton, each and every body skeleton, even were stored separately. You see, the Germans manufactured leather items from the skin. All the carpets were manufactured by the hairs. See, the world, looking back, never appreciates Hitler. And how can we appreciate a God who's created a hell for the entire mankind? You see, Saddam Hussein, who burnt many cities, many villages, who killed the entire villages, when he was caught, what was the punishment that was given to him, dear brethren? Hang him till death. He was not taken to the torture room. Neither his skin were peeled, neither his eyes were plucked. One by one, his nails were torn out. No, simply hang to death. Dear brethren, Jesus just going to hell day by day, taking rounds. The people crying for mercy. Jesus simply says, my son, once you had a good time, now it's a bad time for you. Once they had bad time, now it's a good time for them. And Jesus just replies and just walks off. Do you think it's really the character of Jesus? That is against what the Bible says about Jesus. Somebody caught Jesus' feet. Jesus never walked away like that. Jesus helped them, though they believed them or not. Then this character seems to be very awkward, and what the heathens believe, that our God is a ferocious God, an angry God, who always wants to devour the sinners. Then, if he wanted to devour the sinners, why did he give his son? He would have done it the first day itself. Dear brethren, imagine if a dog bites us. You see, there are a lot of street dogs in the road, no? If a dog bites us, what will we do? Will we get on and catch hold of the dog, run behind it and catch hold of the dog and pull it? You say, bring it and beat it nicely. And do we roast it? Do we put it into hot water, dip it, peel his skin, peel his nails, pluck out his tongue, pluck out his eyes, and make it into pieces, small, small pieces? No different than being evil, wicked. We won't do it. We will be satisfied only to punish it. You see, until our anger is quenched, we won't, you see, punish them eternally. You see, imagine if somebody comes to repair a computer or system, anything in our house, it gets spoiled. Do we really hang him to death and peel his skin? You see, torture him? You see? Don't you, Putran? Then how? You see, the Bible says that God punished the wicked. Yes, of course, God punished the wicked with the fire. You see? And so many people, they misunderstand that God similarly is the hellfire. But before coming to a conclusion, we need to read these verses, dear brethren. See, of course, God consumed the wicked with fire. But what did he do with them? After that one, what did he do with the wicked? Let us read what the Bible says. Numbers 16:33. Saji brother, can you read Numbers 16:33?
One second, brother.
Okay.
In Malayalam or English?
In English, KJV. You read only in KJV until I tell you to read in NAV or Malayali.
They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation.
You see, they went alive into the pit. You see, the fire quenched them. You see, and what does the Bible say? Did they go down deep into hell? Did they go and burn there forever and ever? No, the verse clearly says, you see, the earth closed and they perished from the congregation. Perished means perished, dear brethren. They did not live in the congregation. They're gone forever. The God destroyed the entire city of Sodom and Gomorrah because of sin against God. What happened to the people? The people became salt. That is today's Dead Sea. You see, none are alive. God did never take the sinners alive to some deep city to punish them forever and ever. No. In front of their eyes, the fire came from heaven, brimstone and rain, and destroyed the entire city. You know, the special thing about the Bible is that Bible says that Sodom and Gomorrah will again have salvation. They will come back in the resurrection to the same state. That's what the Bible says. Let us read Ezekiel 16:55. Stephen, brother, can you read Ezekiel 16:55?
One minute, brother. Ezekiel 16:55.
Yeah.
Ezekiel 16:55.
Read, brother.
Yes. When thy sisters, Sodom and her daughters, shall return to the former estate, and Samaria and her daughters shall return to their former estate, then thou and thy daughters shall return to your former estate.
See, the Bible clearly says that the Sodom shall be returned, restored to the former state. She shall return to the former state. Even Israel shall be restored, it seems. That means If Sodom itself shall be saved, if Israel itself shall be saved, who crucified Christ? Then, dear brethren, where is the question of the wicked going to hell? You see, once the disciples of Jesus went to a village asking for food. You know, the village people never give them food. They cast them out. You see, don't ever come to our city. You see, please get out. And a complaint, they came and complained to Jesus saying, Master, please give us the permission that we may call fire from heaven and destroy them. You know, what did Jesus reply for that one, dear brethren? You see, let us read that one in Luke 9, 54 and 55. Emmanuel brother, can you read Luke 9, 54 and 55?
Luke 9, 54 and 55. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that a command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of.
Continue.
For the Son of Man is not to come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village.
Very good, brother. See? Here, clearly, Jesus could have told, yes, you're absolutely right. That's what I also made, a place next to heaven. Beautiful hell is there where I'll torture them. Now, begin this torture here only. Did Jesus say that one? No. You know not what type of spirit you are. Jesus scolded them and said, you see, Son of Man never came to destroy lives. He came to save the lives of human beings, not to destroy them, dear brethren. That is the spirit of Christ. You see, therefore, what does the Bible say about hell? You see, the word hell actually comes in the Bible. You know, the word hell, the meaning of the word hell, you know, what is the original meaning of the word hell? It is to hide. You see, to conceal, to cover. That is the original meaning of the word hell. You see, like for example, now what do you see in the screen? What is this one called as? What is that you can see in the screen? Can somebody tell me?
Window.
Very good. That's a window. Correct. Absolutely window. And what is this one?
Windows.
Windows. So window and windows. So plural, singular. Huh? So both has got a lot of difference. One is that we put to the house, another is that we use it in a computer software. So, see, both the words are same. Application is different. Similarly, the word hell, the application is changed compared to originally what it was used when Bible was written. Now, what is this one? Who can answer? Sajibuddha, what is this one?
Mouse.
What about this one?
Mouse.
So both are mouse. See, both stays in house only. So you see the meaning has changed here, brethren. So what is this one? Stephen brother, what is this one?
Tablets. Capsules, medicines. These are also tablets.
See, the application has changed. Similarly, originally, you know, the Bible hell actually means to bury, to hide, to conceal. In world of English, whenever they used to use the word hide, instead of that word hide, they used to use that word hell. I must go to bury my potatoes. And they used to tell in those days, like, I must go and, you see, hell my potatoes. Hell my potatoes is what? You see, bury deep inside the ground. You see, this one, you see, you can see the screen. It's a 15th century Cambridge dictionary. You see? So, here you can see in the 15th century dictionary, I have physical copy in my house. If anybody comes to my house, you can see it. It's a original 15th century dictionary, Cambridge dictionary. It's not a published one, reprinted or something. Original Bible, 15th century, oldest dictionary. You see, there it clearly is given what is the meaning of the word hell. You see, can somebody read, Buddha? Can somebody read from the screen? What is written there?
Hell, to hide.
Hell to hide. That is the original meaning, dear brethren. 15th century in English, the word hell meant hide. Now only that meaning is changed. Why it has changed, when it's changed, we'll all see all those things in the coming days. We need to understand it and why it's changed, because it's very, very important for our salvation, dear brethren. You see, the word hell actually, you see, comes, you see, 54 times in the Bible. If you see in the King James Version, you see, 54 times the word hell comes in the Bible. In the Old Testament, it appears 31 times. In New Testament, 23 times. You see, and there are actually four Hebrew and Greek words that are used for word hell. In Old Testament, that is in the Hebrew, it is only one word that is used for to translate the word hell. That is Sheol. Okay? And when coming to the New Testament, there are three Greek words that are used to translate the word hell. First, it is Hades. Second, it is Gehenna. And third, it is Tartaro. Now, today, we're going to see in very shortly how these words are used in the Bible. Okay? Now, the word, you see, Sheol, that is in the, you see, Old Testament. This word Sheol comes, you know, 63 times in the Bible. You see, in the Old Testament, 63 times it comes. But, you know, that word is not translated in all the places as hell. Some places it is translated as grave. Some places it is translated as hell. And still in some places it is translated as pit. Now, dear brother, imagine if this word Sheol, which is translated as hell, if it is really a place of torment, then in all the places it should be translated as hellfire, 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 hellfire. But it is not done so. It is not at all done so. Whenever the Bible speaks about good person, you know, the translators have translated this word as grave or pit. Whenever this verse is speaking about a bad person, they have translated the word hell. So that, you know, why they have done it? Because the reader, you may get the understanding that hell is a place of torment. You see, and good people go to grave. You see, why this difference? If it is really hell, the hellfire, then every place you would translate the same. Now, why this differentiation is done? And moreover, in the Old Testament, the word hell comes, but never, not even in one place, that word hell is associated with fire. It comes only hell. There's no hell fire is used in the Bible, in the Old Testament at all. It appears only in the New Testament. That 12 times, I'll tell you shortly. Okay? So, please, everybody stay till the end of the class. Any doubts, any questions you have, you can definitely ask. We are free to discuss. Okay? So, why this word is used only like this one? We'll see an example. Okay? Why hellfire is not used? They could have used it, no? Anyway, hell, that's the imagination. Hell is a place of fire. Hellfire is there in New Testament. But use the same word in Old Testament. Why? You see, let us see an example. First time the word hell, that means Sheol, comes in the Bible in Genesis 37, 35. This is actually speaking about, you see, Jacob hearing that his son, you see, is dead. So that Joseph is dead. His brothers came and told a lie that Joseph is dead. And Jacob could not control his emotion. He told, I will go down to the grave. I will go down to the grave where my son is. You see, let us, before studying that one, let us read what is the meaning of Sheol in the, you see, Hebrew dictionary. Can somebody read what is there in the pink box, brother? Can somebody read who can read in English? Can somebody read what is there in the pink box? Any brethren, please? Saji, brother?
Which part, brother, actually?
H7585. Can you read? In
7585.
yeah.
Sure. From H7592, hate over the world of the dead, Asife subterranean retreat, including its accessories and inmates, grave, hell, pit.
You see, you know what is grave, comma, hell, comma, pit? That means this Hebrew word Sheol is translated in the Bible in such ways, three different ways. Okay. Now let us read. Please read this verse from Genesis 37:35, brother. Can anybody open your Bible and read it from Genesis 37:35? Please, if somebody can make it really fast, it will be very kind.
Yeah, I can read that.
Oh, please, sister. Please continue, please.
And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him.
You see, Jacob said, "I will go down into the grave unto my son." Now here you can see on the screen, next to that word grave, one small letter is there, H7585. You see, that is the Strong's Hebrew concordance number. This is not put by me. You can search it on the Google itself. The numbers will come right to you. Or you can download this app where you can find the Greek and Hebrew words in your mobile itself. You see, Sword Bible is there, Eastward Bible is there. And if you click any verse, immediately that Hebrew and Greek word will pop up. Just to put your finger near it, it will show what's the meaning of Hebrew and Greek word. So here, the same word, Sheol, is translated as what? Grave. Because how can a very good person, you see the faith warrior, you see one of the ancient worthies, you see, how can he go to hell? Hence, when it is written about Jacob, they are translated as grave. Because you see, Jacob is a good person. No, he can't go to hell. Now it comes to the same wicked person. How the Hebrew word is translated? Read Psalms 9:17. Psalms 9:17. Sajibuddha, can you read in KJV Bible?
It shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God.
Once more, brother.
The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God.
Very good, brother. See, again, you see the word hell here. See, the same number, H7585, the Greek, Hebrew, Greek concordance number. The same number is coming. That is actually Sheol. That word, the root word is actually Sheol there. You see, you know, dear brethren, Sheol comes here. The word Sheol. Now here, it is speaking about the wicked people. Clearly, the wicked shall go to hell. How can the wicked go to a grave? They should go to hell or place of torment. Hence, the translators have translated here as what? As hell. Giving a picture that is a place of torment, dear brethren. Same Greek Hebrew words, nothing, no difference. If you come to my house, I have got more than 50 translations of Bible in my house. You can see, compare all the Bibles. You see, the same Hebrew and Greek Bible is there. You can come and see. Same words is translated in other place in different way. Why? Because the translators have a preconceived idea that hell is a place of torment. Hence, all the wicked should go to, you see, the place of torment. You see, now let us read about Job. You see, read Job 17 chapter verse 13 and verse 16. Can Stephen, brother, can you read Job 17 chapter verse 13 and 16, brother?
Yes, brother. 1 minute. Job 17, 13 to 16.
13 and 16.
13. If I wait, the grave is my house. I have made my bed in the darkness.
See, here the word grave is used. Why? Job is a good person. How can he go to hell? It is the same Hebrew word, sheol, that is translated. You can see here, 7585. Now, okay. Now, read verse 16. How the same Hebrew verse translated here? Read with that, 16th verse.
They shall go down to the bars of the pit when our rest together is in the dust.
Pit. You see, the word pit is used here. You see, they haven't put grave also here. They haven't put L also. Cleverly, they put pit. Okay. Now, let us compare it with in different languages. Okay. Can somebody read in Nepali Psalms 917? Psalms 917, can somebody read in Nepali? And later on, we'll see in Tamil and Malayali also. Stephen, brother, are you comfortable with Tamil? Anybody you can read in Nepali?
Okay, brother, I will read it.
Please.
I don't have a Tamil Bible, brother. Sorry.
Oh, is it okay? Okay, then. You can download. Is it possible for you to see online? Is it okay? Are you comfortable? Okay. Email, brother, please read in Nepali.
917. Dushtaharu chai patalmai farkera janchan, janichan. Sabai jatiharu jasle parmeshwar lai birsanchan.
Where they will go? What does it come in Nepali?
Patal.
Patalam.
Patal.
Patal. Very good, brother. Okay. Now, what does Job 17:13 come, brother?
In Nepali, brother?
Nepali.
Job 17:13.
It's
written as 13. यदि मैले आशा गरेको घर चिहान हो भने यदि मैले मेरो ओछ्यान अन्धकारमा बनाए भने इट्स
चिहान चिहान मीन्स व्हाट
द ग्रेव
ग्रेव ओके नाउ लेट अस रीड इन मलयाली शैजी ब्रदर कैन यू रीड साम्स 917
ദുഷ്ടന്മാരും ദൈവത്തെ മറക്കുന്ന സകല ജാതികളും പാതാളത്തിലേക്ക് തിരിയും
പാത്തിങ്ങളാ സൂപ്പർ ബ്രദർ പാതാളം മച്ച് സിമിലർ ടു Nepali, pleasant to hear Nepal, Malayali. Patalam, good. Okay. Stephen, brother, can you help us with a little bit of Tamil? Can you download?
Patalam means also the same. Patalam, also in Tamil. No, I don't have the Tamil Bibles. No, I'm sorry.
You can't download?
Not now. I don't have it here.
Okay. No problem. See, why I told you particularly, because in Tamil, it comes as Naragam, not Patalam. You know, in Tamil, it's clearly given that the wicked go to what? Naragam. You see? And when it comes to Job, it is written as, you see, Patalam. Now, Shaiji brother, read in Malayali, Job 17:13, brother.
ഞാനോ പാതാളത്തെ എൻ്റെ വീടായി പ്രതീക്ഷിക്കുന്നു ഇരുട്ടിൽ ഞാൻ എൻ്റെ കിടക്ക വിരിച്ചിരിക്കുന്നു
ഓക്കെ സീ ഹിയർ ഓൾസോ പാതാളം ദാറ്റ് വേർഡ് ഈസ് കം നൗ ജസ്റ്റ് സീ ദ സെയിം വേർഡ് ഹൗ ഇസ് ട്രാൻസ്ലേറ്റഡ് വൺ ഇൻ ഗ്രേവ് അദർ ഇൻ പിറ്റ് അദർ ഇൻ ഹെൽ ഓക്കെ നൗ ഡിയർ ബ്രദർ യു സീ ദിസ് ക്ലിയർലി ഷോസ് ദ യു സീ വെറൈറ്റി ഓഫ് ട്രാൻസ്ലേഷൻ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ഡൺ യു സീ So, we'll just recollect what you have seen. See, all the three verses what you studied, it is the same Hebrew word, sheol. Okay? Now, in English, we clearly saw it's three different words that are used. Same root word, Hebrew, but translated as grave, hell, you see, and pitta. When it comes to good people, you see, grave, is used. But when it comes to bad people, what is the word that is used? Patalam. You see, Naragam. You see, or hell. You see, dear brethren. So, what do you mean by Patalam? You see, what do you mean by hell? If you see, the grave itself is the hell actually in the Bible. You see, in Tamil or in Malayali also or in Nepali also, that word is clearly pronounced Patalam. Patalam is what? That can be split. Pa and Stalam. Pa, Stalam. If you join together, it will become Pa, Stalam. Patalam. Pa means what? Pa means actually foot. You see? Stalam means what? Place. A place which is below the foot. Pa, Stalam. Something which is below your foot. Now, what is below our foot? The ground that is below our foot. You see, below that one, that place itself is called as the, you see, Patalam. So, once the dead are dead, where do we bury them? Where do we bury in here? We bury in below ground only, no? That is the actual meaning of the word. You see, Sheol, grave in the Bible. Now, see, let us compare it in New Testament and see, it's more clear. See, like for example, in New Testament, there are three words that are used. Hades, Gehenna and Tartar. See, Hades comes only 11 times. Okay, and Gehenna comes only 12 times. And Tartar comes only one time. First, let us see Hades. It's very simple. What all verse that comes in Sheol is the same as Hades in the, you see, New Testament. Okay, same this one. We will see a comparison of few verses. Old Testament, Sheol is New Testament, Hades. Both are similar. Okay? Very simply, we will read only one verse. Acts 2:37. First read Acts 2:37 from KJV Bible, then from NAV Bible, then from Nepali, and then from Malayali. Okay. Can anybody read from English KJV Bible first? Acts 2:37. Emmanuel brother, can you read?
Okay, I'll read Acts 2:27. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corpse.
Very good. So this is speaking about Jesus. Jesus was never left in hell. Jesus' soul was never left in hell. Okay? Good. Hell, that word hell. If you see the word hell, it is actually from G86, that is Hades. The Greek word used here is Hades. Okay. Okay. Now let us read the same verse in NAV. Sajibudar, I hope you have NAV. Can you read in NAV? And a little bit louder. I think you're quite far from your mic. It's a little bit very slow.
Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, you will not let your Holy One see decay.
Now, what is the word come, brother?
Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead.
Realm of the dead. Absolutely correct, brother. The realm of the dead, the place of the dead. Any footnote is given, brother, in NAV?
No, brother, actually, I have to search.
Okay. Is not printed in your Bible?
No, the footnote is not there.
Okay, good. No problem. Now, can you read the same verse in Malayali?
നീ എന്റെ പ്രാണനെ പാതാളത്തിൽ വിടുകയില്ല നിന്റെ പരിശുദ്ധനെ ദ്രവത്വം കാണുവാൻ സമ്മതിക്കുകയില്ല.
വെരി ഗുഡ്. സി പാതാളം, കറക്റ്റ്. നൗ ഇൻ നേപ്പാളി, കൻ സംബഡി റീഡ് ഇൻ നേപ്പാളി? സിസ്റ്റർ, കൻ യു റീഡ് ഇൻ നേപ്പാളി? സിസ്റ്റർ സമീക്ഷ, സിസ്റ്റർ.
യെസ്. The same verse, Acts 2:27. Mine is DVS. Okay. किनभने तपाईँले मेरो प्राणलाई अधोलोकमा छोड्नुहुने छैन न त तपाईँले आफ्नो पवित्र जनलाई सर्न नै दिनुहुनेछ.
Very good. Adoloka,
अधोलोक, यस.
Adoloka, very good. Okay. Now, this word, you know, it is actually a copy of the verse that is mentioned in the Old Testament. Where is it given? In the Old Testament, it is given in Psalm 16:10. Now, let us compare this one from Psalm 16:10 and read. Again, let us read from English, KJV, NIV, Malayali, and as well as Nepal. Okay. Emmanuel Buddha, can you read Psalm 16:10 from KJV?
Yes, Psalm 16:10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption.
Very good. See, the same word hell is mentioned in Old Testament. You know, that is the same Hades, it's the same Greek, and Sheol. So both are one and same. So here in KJV, everybody it is translated as same, hell, hell, hell. Okay. Now, let us read in NIV. Saiji Budhar, can you read in NIV Psalm 16:10?
Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay.
Okay, same way it is translated, the realm of the dead. Any footnote is given there, brother, in the Old Testament?
No, brother.
Okay, good. Okay, now let us read in Malayali. Brother, can you read in Malayali?
നീ എൻ്റെ പ്രാണനെ പാതാളത്തിൽ വിടുകയില്ല, നിന്റെ പരിശുദ്ധനെ ദൈവത്വം കാണുവാൻ സമ്മതിക്കുകയില്ല.
Very good. Patalam. See, the same word in the Old Testament as mentioned, Patalam. Okay. In New Testament, the same Patalam, Malayali. Okay. Now, Nepali. Sister, can you read in Nepali, sister?
Yes. किनभने तपाईँले मेरो प्राणलाई अधोलोकमा छोड्नुहुने छैन न त तपाईँले आफ्नो पवित्र जनलाई सर्न दिनुहुनेछ.
अधोलोकमा छोड्न छैन. सी अधोलोक, यु सी same way it is translated. Now you only think, is hell adoloka? Is hell patalama? Is hell greva? And that means it can be translated whichever way you want. You tell me, if it is really a place of torment, then everywhere it should be the same. No, why they were translated? You see, this clearly proves that when Jesus, this verse is speaking about Jesus, how can Jesus be in a place of torment? Hence, in this verses, they are put as various different ways, Devudran. But if it comes to the wicked people, again, you see, the words are differently used. Okay. Now, let us read one more verse, Matthew 16:18. Stephen Buddha, can you read in English, Buddha, Matthew 16:18?
Matthew 16. Yes. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it.
What, brother? What word came there, brother?
And the gates of
Hades
will not prevail against it.
Which version is that, brother? Which version is the Bible?
18.
Which version? What is the name?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Sorry. I'll have to go to KJV.
No. I asked which version of the Bible
did you read from? The Berevian. I don't know. It goes jumping around. Can I use the KJV now?
No, it's okay, no problem. You can read it, but I asked you a question, which was the version you used to read now?
Berevian Bible study.
See, that's one of the translation. Now you read from directly from the Hebrew word. Hades is used there. Now read from KJV, brother.
Yeah, King James. We'll come to that. Matthew 16, 15.
18.
18, is it? Yeah. Sorry, 15.
Brother, 16, 18, brother.
18, huh?
Yeah.
Yes. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
See, here the word hell, that means Hades is translated as hell. Okay, now Saiji Buddhar, can you read from NAV and Malayali?
And I tell you that you are Peter, stand on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of the hate will not overcome it.
Very good. That's an NAV?
Yeah, it's NAV, brother.
Good, brother. Good. See, again, the word Hades is used there. Okay, now can I read in Malayali, brother?
നീ പത്രോസ് ആകുന്നു ഈ പാറമേൽ ഞാൻ എൻ്റെ സഭയെ പണിയും പാതാള ഗോപുരങ്ങൾ അതിനെ ജയിക്കയില്ല എന്ന് ഞാൻ നിന്നോട് പറയുന്നു.
വെരി ഗുഡ്. അഗൈൻ പാത്താളം. ഓക്കെ, ക്യാൻ യു റീഡ് ഇൻ നേപ്പാളി? ഇമ്മാനുവൽ ബ്രദർ ഓർ സമീക്ഷ സിസ്റ്റർ, ക്യാൻ യു റീഡ് ഇൻ നേപ്പാളി?
യെസ് ബ്രദർ. അനി മ പനി തിമിലൈ ഭന്ദസു തിമി പത്രോസ് ഹൗ ര യെസ് സത്താൻ മാഥി മ ആഫ്റ്റർ മണ്ഡലി
See, here the word naraka is used. Correct now? Now, why particularly naraka is used? Because here the verse says that the church is not going to hell. You see, hell has no power over the church. This is true, no? As per their belief. Because they believe that hell is a place of torment, the church can never go to hell. You see, so here, instead of putting adolokam, or patalam in Nepali, what they put? Narakam, isn't it? Because this is very suitable to their idea, Devadran. So, Devadran, there are many more verses. You see, we will send a PDF notes. You just please go through all the other verses. Okay? So, in all these verses, it clearly shows us, you see, that hell is not a place of torment. Okay. Now let us read one more verse, Revelation 1:18. Can somebody read in English? Emmanuel Buddha, can you read in English?
Revelation 1:18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore. I mean, and have the keys of hell and out of death.
Thank you, Buddha. So Jesus is having the keys of hell and death. Based on this verse only, some people think that Jesus is the, you see, main person who is having the key and is given the in charge to the devil. Okay. Now here, again, it is the same, you see, verse that is used, you see, Hades, you see. What does it mean? You see, hell means what? You see, we just now saw hell means what? Hell means grave. So Jesus is having the keys of grave. And keys of death means what? Key is something used to unlock, that is, which is locked. So Jesus, when he returns at the second coming, is going to bind the Satan, and he is going to use these two keys to unlock first the death. You see, now what is the meaning of death? Death means the last moment where we leave a breath. Is that death in the Bible? No. That is not the meaning of death as per the Bible. As per the Bible, death means from the moment you're born till the moment you're dead, actually dead. That is a death in the Bible. So when Jesus is going to return, he is going to stop this death process when at his second advent. You see, he is going to stop all the people from dying because he has returned and given them salvation. You see, this is the first key. And the second key is going to use for the hell or Hades or Sheol or grave. That means many people are already dead and gone into the grave. You see, those people will be resurrected from the grave. That's what Jesus said, no? John 5:28. What did Jesus say? Marvel not at this. All that are in the graves shall hear forth his voice and come. Read John 5:28. Can somebody read John 5:28?
Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice.
See, all that are in grave, that is the same word, Hades. All that are in Hades shall hear his voice and come forth in the resurrection. This is the second key that Jesus is going to use at the second advent. Okay. Now, dear brethren, one more verse. Let us read Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. Emmanuel, brother, can you read Revelation 20, verse 14?
Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. Hmm. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death.
Now here, just think, what was cast into the lake of fire? What was cast into the lake of fire? Two things were cast. What were
death they? And hell.
Very good, Buddha. Death and hell. See, generally the concept is that, you see, in hell, there is a lake of fire. Correct, no? What is there in hell? There is a lake of fire. Different sections for torture is there. Correct, no? But this verse says, hell itself was put into the lake of fire. Now, where is the lake of fire? What is the meaning of this one? No need to break our head at all. The verse itself gives us the answer. What does the verse say? What is the meaning of this lake of fire? Read again, brother. Let us see. Revelation 20, verse 14. Everybody please concentrate.
And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death.
This is the second death, not the place of torment. So what is the second death? We have a separate class for it. We will study. In short, all the people dead in Adam will be brought back to life. But if they sin again, they will die again. That is called as a simple statement for second death in the Bible. You see? So this itself is the second death. Okay? Now, you see, we have studied one Hebrew word, one Greek word. Now, let us study a very important, Greek word, that is Gehenna. This word Gehenna actually means the valley of Hinnom. And this word Gehenna comes only 12 times in the Bible. And wherever this word comes, Gehenna, it is accompanied by the word fire. You see, like hell, not only hell comes, but along with hell, the word fire is attached. So it comes hellfire. It comes only 12 times in the Bible. Now, let us see what the Gehenna means. Can somebody read from the screen in the pink box? Can somebody read? Shaiji Bidhar, can you read? Is it possible?
Gehenna of Hebrew origin, H1516 and H2011, Valley of region of Hinnom, Gehenna or Gehinnom, a valley of Jerusalem used figuratively as a name for the place or state of everlasting punishment, hell.
See, what does it say? It says it's a valley of Hinnom. You see, the valley of the son of Hinnom, valley of Jerusalem. You see, there was a valley in Jerusalem, it seems, where the wicked were punished. So that is the name of that valley. You see, Gehenna. Okay. Let us study what this Gehenna means. You see, Actually, in Jerusalem, there was a fortress, we know. Okay? And outside the fortress, there was a valley called as Valley of Hinnom. This place was called as Gehenna. Now, why this place was called as Gehenna? What do you mean by Valley of Hinnom? If you see, actually, when Israel people sinned against God, when they turned against God, they went and worshipped Baal. We all know Baal God, how it was. It was half human and half animal. It was a hollow metallic image, idol. Okay, behind it, they used to put fire and heat that idol as red hot. You see, and upon this red hot idol, which used to have a hand like this, they used to offer human sacrifices to God himself. Small children were burnt alive. Alive, they were thrown into fire. See, pleasing this Baal sacrifice, God. This Baal's temple was outside this place, outside Jerusalem, in Gehenna, in that valley of Hinnom. You see, so what happened was that we know very well, God never liked this worship of Baal. This was forbidden in the Bible. So God severely punished the people of Israel. But when they turned back, God accepted them and told them this Gehenna or the Valley of Hinnom, the place where Baal God is there, you are never going to use it. You're going to destroy it and treat as a place where you put all the refuse, all the garbage of the city outside Jerusalem. So this valley was actually the place where all the refuse of the city, all the waste of the city was thrown. Like, for example, today we have a place where all the refuse is thrown outside the city. In each and every city is there. You see, all the dustbins, all the waste things are thrown there. This is what Gehenna meant. Okay. Now, let us see what the dictionary says about this Gehenna. Can somebody read from the screen? Who can read from the screen? Emmanuel, are you able to read? Or Samiksha sister, can you read from the screen?
Okay, brother, I would read.
Read,
Gehenna. Gehenna, the Valley of Hinnom near Jerusalem, in which the Israelites sacrificed their children to Moloch, and to which, at a later time, the refuse of the city was conveyed to be slowly burned, hence hell.
Valley of Hinnom. See, this is the word hell that is used in the Bible. Now, is there proof in the Bible? Yes. Read Jeremiah 7, chapter verse 30 and 31. Samiksha sister, can you read Jeremiah 7, chapter verse 30 and 31?
Can I read from the screen?
Yeah, definitely you can read.
For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, said the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. They have built the high places of Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded, neither came it into my heart.
See, what is the Valley of Hinnom? You see, what is the meaning of it? They were offering their sons and daughters as sacrifices to God in fire. This ritual, God had never commanded, nor did this one came into the heart of God, it seems. That means, to putting the wicked, you see, or offering the child sacrifices, this one God had never commanded. This is the ritual that they're doing in Valley of Hinnom. Now read Jeremiah 19, chapter 5 and 6 also, sister.
They have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire, burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came into my mind. Therefore, behold, the day is come, said the Lord, that this place shall no more be called the Topheth, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter.
You see, this is the place they were offering burnt offerings to Baal. You see, a place of Topheth, valley of Hinnom. God named it as the Valley of Slaughter. See, God never commanded to offer humans to fire. This one thought never came to God. Imagine, dear brethren. So hence, When Israel people repented, this place was treated as a refuse place, a garbage place where all the garbage was thrown. We say that reference is given in Isaiah. Read Isaiah 66:24. Emmanuel brother, can you read Isaiah 66:24?
Isaiah 66:24, and they shall go forth and look upon the curses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their womb shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be abhorring unto all flesh.
They shall be abhorring unto all flesh. The womb shall not die, the fire shall not be quenched. This was the condition of Gehenna. Now he says, the carcasses of men were thrown here. What do you mean by that one? You see, in Israel, severe culprits were never allowed to be buried because they had the faith of resurrection. If burial is there, if the body is there, then only the resurrection will take place. So if the body is not there, you see, they won't come in the resurrection. Hence, the severe after severe criminals, they never wanted them to be buried. Their bodies were thrown in this Gehenna. So, hoping that they would never come in the resurrection also, that means they would be gone forever. It is better that they are gone forever. Now, imagine in such a place, you see, what will be there? Worms will be there. You see, lift some place, worms will be there. Fire will be there. One place to other place, such a huge place. Fire or worms will always be there. You see? That is the meaning of that word Gehenna. Doesn't mean that the fire is still burning even till today. Even the worms are still alive till today. No, dear brethren, you see. So that was actually the background of Gehenna. Now this Gehenna word comes only 12 times in the Bible. See the list of the verses I put here. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Only in James it comes once. Okay. Now you tell me why this hellfire verse, which is a very important doctrine for Christians, comes only 12 times in the Bible. And the two in the Gospels. You see, Matthew, Mark, Luke, all the three is a repetition. So hence we'll consider only one book, Matthew, Mark, or Luke. So it is easy because more elaborately is given in Mark. We'll consider Mark. Okay. Now think, why Jesus only used these words? Why none of the apostles may never mention about hellfire? Oh, be careful about hellfire, or else you'll be gone to hellfire. You will die. You shall never be set free. You shall be tortured forever. Why he never used it? Think. Dear brethren, now let us read this Mark 9 chapter, verse 43 to 48. Okay. Now, who can read in the Bible? English Bible. Can somebody read? Mark 9 chapter 43 to 48. Stephen brother, Sage brother, Emmanuel brother, or Samik sister. Nobody is prepared. Sage brother.
NIV. NIV is okay.
KJV. You read from the KJV, then we'll see the NIV.
Mark 9.
43 to 48.
Okay. Mark 9. Yeah, 43, 48. Okay. Yes. And if thine hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, that never shall be quenched. Wherefore, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched, and if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched.
Okay. Thank
for
you.
Everyone.
Okay, thank you, brother. Now, Sage
okay.
brother, read verse 43 and 44 in NIV.
If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. 45 also?
You read 43?
Yes, brother.
Now read verse 44.
And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut
no,
it
no, no. Read verse 44.
No, 44 also completed.
It's not printed, correct, no? 44 is not printed. 46 is not printed. Why? We'll think, we'll reason at all these things. Okay? See, this is how the translators have translated and printed the Bible. If you have a complete, clear NIV Bible, each and every thing what I tell you, it is mentioned in the footnote itself. Okay, anyway, tomorrow you come to my house, I'll show you all the Bibles. Anyway, good. It's good that we read the comparison of the Bible. See, in all the three places, here the word hellfire comes in the Bible. This is the only place in the entire Bible hellfire word is used. Now, why such a serious and important doctrine is only used in this place? Now, let us understand this incident. What did Jesus say here? If a hand commits sin, pluck it out. It is better to enter into life with one hand than to go to Gehenna or hellfire with both hands. Okay, that's what the same Jesus says to our legs and even eyes. Okay, now let us practically apply this one and see. Okay, if our hands commit sin, Jesus said it's better to cut off our hands. Now, we are all accepted Jesus as a savior, correct? No, no doubt about it. Now, do we still commit sin in our hand? Yes or no? Even after accepting Jesus, do we still commit sin? Yo, nobody commits sin in your hand. You're so holy. Everybody, please reply. I want a reply from you to continue the class. Do you all commit sin in your hand or not? Yo, Stephen brother, you're there?
Yes, brother. Yes, I do. Thank you.
Please,
sorry, forgive me.
Next time I'll ask each and every individual's name. Samiksha sister, tell me.
Yes, brother.
Saiju brother, please tell me.
Yes, brother.
Emmanuel brother, please tell me.
Yes, brother. So, of course, we commit. Because we are
in... like a school attendance. Roll number one, roll number two, number three. Good. So, we all commit sin. Now, we are all obedient children to Christ. So, tomorrow itself, let us cut off one of our hand. Because we commit sin from our hand. Okay. Now, if our one hand is cut off, you see, what about the other hand? Will it keep quiet or will it continue to sin? Of course, it won't continue to sin at least for 1 year. But again, after 1 year, when everything is healed, what will happen? Again, that other hand will commit sin. And if we cut off both the hands, how is it? Is that what Jesus said? Okay, now both hands are gone. Now, what did Jesus say? If your leg commits sin, cut it off. Okay, now imagine Peter, apostle, took a knife, cut off the ear of Malchus to save Jesus. We remember now? You see, what did Jesus say at that time? You see, that was an apt moment for Jesus to tell to Peter, Peter, you sinned. Take a knife and please cut off your hands. Correct, no? Did Jesus say that one? No. Did Peter really cut off his hands also? No. Why? If really Jesus ever meant to literally cut off our hands, this was a real and apt situation and the reason for Peter to cut his hands. But Peter never did this one. Neither did our Lord told the disciples to do this one. Dear brethren, we need to think. Then let us see. You see, if our legs commit sin, Jesus said to cut it off. Okay. Now, our one leg is gone. Now what about the other leg? Will it keep quiet? No, that will again commit sin. Okay, now we have cut off both legs also. Okay, now what did Jesus say? If your eyes commit sin, pluck it out. You see, so one eye is gone. So only one eye is left over. Now what about that other eye? Will it keep quiet? Again, that will also commit sin. You see, then if I cut off both the hands, both the legs, and both the eyes, what is left over to serve God, you tell me? Huh? Now this is what Jesus said. No. Then we should understand what Jesus was actually trying to say, because Jesus never literally meant this one, dear brethren. So many sinners came to him. Did Jesus really literally mention these things to do to everybody? No. You see, then what is the meaning of hand, dear brethren? Hand means no what? You see, our friends, we say, oh, he's our right hand, he's my right hand, he's my very close friend. If our friends, if our relatives, if our, you see, Christian friends, let it be, if they're diverting us away from God, leading us to sinful activities, you see, to do things which are not pleasing to God, Jesus said, better cut them off. Better cut them off, or else you shall go to Gehenna, second death, a place of no return. You shall go and you shall never come back even in the resurrection. You see, Jesus said, if your legs commit sin, legs means what? The place we go. Always keep attending marriage, birthday, function, party. Only this one means, where is the importance given for God's? You see? Huh? You see? Lord's prayer, hearing the Lord's words. If your legs are diverting, cut off all these things. Cut off the places which are going, which are committing you, drawing you to sin. Dear brethren, eyes means what? The things which you see. Continuously seeing mobile. You see, Facebook, WhatsApp, Twitter. You see, YouTube. Huh? TVs, movies, cinema. All these things. Always reading newspaper. Dear brethren, it is better that we cut off all these things. Or else we will go to second death. That's what Jesus meant. First death is the death which you received collectively through Adam. But Jesus gave the ransom. Hence, each and every man has a resurrection. But after accepting Jesus, if you sin willfully, we will go to second death. From where there is no return. There is no resurrection at all. We will see about second death in the coming days. Okay? But anyway, but here, one problem is that Jesus said the fire is never quenched. The worms die not. So some people think that, oh, hell is a place of torment. Fire will be continuously burning and worms will never die. Actually, Jesus never meant a literal statement, because cutting off your arms, legs and all is not literal, means even this verse is not literal. Now, what is the meaning of this Jesus using the term? This is the same verse Jesus quoted from Isaiah 66:24. Remember, we read from Isaiah 66:24, their worms die not, the fire is not quenched, the valley of Hinnom, you see the carcasses that are put on in the garbage. This is not a literal fire or literal worm that keep on burning forever and ever. This was a figurative term. Like, for example, imagine a huge building, a 100-floor building is full of fire. You see, what will the fireman do? He will try to quench it. But is it possible to quench it? No, it's not possible. You can't put water from ground level and completely quench the fire, a towering. You see, you can't quench the tower. In such a time, if you go and ask the fireman, sir, what happened, sir? What type of fire is it? Oh, when it will get quenched? What will the fireman say? The fireman will say, oh, fire, what type of fire, sir? It is unquenchable fire, sir. It is never quenching at all, sir. That means what? The fire will burn for thousands of years, millions of years? No. The fire will burn until there is a thing to consume. Once if everything is consumed, dear brethren, no need to do anything. Automatically the fire will quench off itself. That is what Jesus mentioned. Fire is not quenched, the worm dieth not, means until it destroys you completely, until it spoils you completely, you can never escape. That's why Jesus said, try to avoid sin. Or else you will go to second death and there won't be any resurrection at all. Dear brethren, you see, This is what actually Jesus meant in those verses. You see, so Gehenna actually was a figurative way of Jesus explaining that as the people of Israel believed, see, if somebody is put to Gehenna, they can't come in the resurrection. So similarly, if we keep on committing sin after accepting Christ as a Savior, you will be gone forever, right, to a place of no return. So Jesus cautioned us to be very careful. You see, okay, now this is about Gehenna. You see, and the last word, you see, that is used to translate word hell in New Testament is Tartaro. That comes only once in the Bible. You know, it is spoken in respect to the angels. That is in 2 Peter 2:4. Can somebody read 2 Peter 2:4? Okay, I'll mention the name. Okay. Sumik sister, can you read 2 Peter 2:4?
Yes, brother. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment.
See, here the angels are cast down to hell. You see, G5020. That word is actually Tartaro. NAV. Shaiji Buddha, can you read from in your NAV? How does it come? 2 Peter 2:4.
For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment.
Okay, that's NIV. Correct, brother? Okay.
NIV.
Yeah. Stephen, brother, can you read from your Berean Bible you told, no? Berean Study Bible. Can you read from that one, 2 Peter 2:4? Stephen, brother, you there?
Yes, the Berean Reader's Bible, you want that?
Yeah.
2 Peter 2.
4.
For God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but cast them deep into hell, placing them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment. If he did not spare the ancient world
okay.
when he brought the blood on it.
Is there any footnote mentioned for the word hell?
Nothing.
Okay,
nothing.
Thank you.
You want any other version?
No, thank you. So, it's in some versions is mentioned. Anyway, we'll try to post all those things in the group after the class is over. See, this is spoken only to angels. So, we know in the first world, the angels sinned. When they came in the flesh, they married the woman. They committed adultery. And where are they now? They are neither put into a place of torment, but they are bound in earth atmosphere. That is, you see, a hell for them. That means they neither can go to heaven nor come to earth. So they are bound in earth atmosphere. We have studied about this one in the third world. Do you remember? The angels were given the privilege to manifest and demanifest in the flesh. So when they came in the flesh, they committed sin. But they are bound in the earth atmosphere. So these are the angels. They were destroyed in the flood. The giants were destroyed. But what about the angels? The angels demanifested from human beings to spiritual being. Now, where did they go? Did they go to heaven? God never took back to heaven. They are in earth atmosphere. So this is a hell for them. They can neither go to God and come to earth, a place of restriction. Therefore, Ephesians 2:2, it says, no, you see, who is the God of the power? Who is the prince of the power of the air? Can somebody read Ephesians 2:2? Emmanuel, brother, can you read Ephesians 2:2?
Ephesians 2:2.
Yeah.
Where in the time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
Very good, brother. It's the prince of the power of the air. You see, that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He's the prince of the power of the air. He can either go to heaven or come to earth. Therefore, dear brethren, you see, God never accepted, you see, the rituals which they did to Baal. Bible says, no, it never came to my heart. And God never thought about the wicked people sacrificing the wicked in fire. It never came to his thought. Do you think God would have made a hell next to heaven to torture all the unbelievers? No. No. Bible says God has made a beautiful plan. All the dead in Adam, you see, from the creation of Adam till Jesus' second advent, they're all sleeping in the grave. All the souls die, they are waiting in the grave. At Jesus' second advent, these shall be raised back to life and brought back this on the same earth and learn the truth, the Buddha. That is what the Bible says. Not that God has made a place of torment, hell. What does the Bible say? God would destroy the wicked. He has nothing to do by preserving the wicked. Read Psalms 145:20. Psalms 145:20. Saiji Buddha, can you read Psalms 145:20?
KJV, brother?
Anyone? KJV, anyway, anything?
The Lord watches over all
145:20.
Yes, brother.
Yeah.
The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy.
See, all the wicked he will destroy. Destroy means destroy, not preserve. What use does it make for God to preserve them without giving you opportunity to repent, to punish them so much? What is this? There is a purpose. No, if you punish something, there is a purpose that they make a return back. If there is no chance of returning, then what is the use of punishing? Read Psalms 37, 9 and 10. Samiksha sister, can you read Psalms 37, 9 and 10?
For evildoers shall be cut off.
Cut off. Those... Underline. Cut off. Not preserved off. Not tormented off. Cut off.
But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be.
Thou shalt diligently consider his place. He shall not be. He can never be found. He shall be destroyed. Now read verse 20, sister. Verse 20 also, sister.
But the wicked shall perish, the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs, they shall consume into smoke, and shall they consume away.
You see, the wicked shall perish, they shall be consumed, not preserved, dear brethren. Therefore, dear brethren, hell with hell. Hell is not a place of torment. Hell, as per the Bible, hell word is there. As per the Bible, hell is the death condition, the grave, where all the dead go to heaven. This is what the Bible says about hell. Okay? If anybody has got any questions, any doubts, please ask. Anybody, any questions, any doubts?
Brother, as you said that hell is just a grave, but not as like for a torment or as like a punishment, but we have been hearing from years and years that hell is dangerous and it is full of fire. So it makes us like sometimes it's like a confusion. Is it real that we don't have such a hell, or like whatever we were taught, what is that? That is all like false teaching, or like it's not exactly false, but whatever they have been teaching us, what do we understand?
Very good question, sister. So why these things crept inside the church? There is a reason. So there's a particular class we will be covering in detail how these things slowly crept inside the church. See, the Bible clearly says the soul dies. If soul dies, if there is no soul, if there is no immortal soul concept at all, then what goes to hell? There's nothing that is there to go to hell, no. Then what is the meaning of hell? So how did they create this one? Why did they come into picture all these things and all? We will see very detailedly. It's an 8-hour class. Okay, how it came? So what was the reasons? So how it developed? And today we have this concept here. But this was not there until, you know, the 4th or 5th century, or not even until the 15th century. This concept of immortal soul or hell was not there at all. It all raised somewhere around, you see, 12th century, all these things came into picture. Why? I'll tell you all these things and all. See, even the people of Israel never believed in all these things, the place of torment. That is the reason they have the hope of resurrection. You see, if there was a concept of torment of hell, why would they have faith of resurrection? So all these things came after the death of Jesus, after the disciples went all over the world and preached. You see, so who did all these things? Why God allowed it? We will see all those things. But as for now, this is what the Bible clearly teaches us, that hell means a death and burial place. Okay?
Brother, one question.
Stephen,
you spoke of the first death and the second death.
Yeah.
First death of Adam's.
Yeah.
And the second of that of others? The rest?
No. Okay, I'll make it more clear. See, first death means not Adam's. See, Adam was the one who committed sin in the Garden of Eden. But that death passed upon everybody. So we are all dying in Adam. That is the first death that came through Adam. Okay, brother?
Okay, the first death that was imputed to Adam.
Mm. Very good, brother. Very good. Thus, that is through Adam. Not only Adam, through Adam, the entire race is dying. So Jesus died and gave a ransom. So all the people who are dying in Adam will be raised in Christ. So everybody will have salvation in Christ. So we are saved from the first death. Correct now?
Okay. Thank you.
Now, second death means what? After accepting Jesus as a savior, after getting salvation through Jesus from the first Adam's sin and death, if he commits sin willfully, underline that word, willfully, purposefully, if he commits sin, willingly, then they will go to second death. You see, there are conditions to go to second death. Not everybody can go. You see, and
that will be to the lake of fire.
That will be gone forever. That means they won't come back again. Now, that one is compared to the lake of fire. Why lake of fire? Now, imagine if you put something into fire, what will happen?
Consumed.
It will be consumed. Very good, brother. Whatever you put, brother, you put iron, even stone, you put anything into fire, it will be consumed. That is the power of fire. And the lake of fire means, imagine, it's a molten lava. You put anything into lava, it will consume.
Vaporized.
Yes, brother, correct. Vaporized, not to be seen anywhere. That is what the Bible says. Sulfur and brimstone is there in the lake of fire means it is utter destruction. That person will not come in any resurrection. Is gone forever. That is the picture of second death. We will see elaborately about second death.
So it's a kind of degrees you're talking about.
Yes, gone
first
forever.
First and second. Yes. Degrees, yes. Higher degree.
Yes, first and second. So one who has escaped from the first only can go to second.
So we are living the first death, that means you're saying.
Yeah, we are living, correct. We are escaped from the first one, we are living.
But how can, after Christ, having taken death upon himself, how can we still be living in the first death?
Sin
is taken away, death.
Correct.
Christ has taken a sin upon himself and death upon himself.
Okay.
And died for us, our sakes. So how can we still be living in that death?
No, we are not living in that death. We escaped from that first death and living in Christ. Fine.
Thank you.
Okay, brother. Okay. So this is applicable for us now. In the 1,000 years, it is applicable for the whole mankind. In the 1,000 years, all mankind will be rescued from the first death. They will be given the knowledge of truth. They should obey the truth. If they don't obey, if they still want to live in a sinful life, then they will go to second death.
So it's only after the millennium that you're talking about judgment, or is it before the millennium?
No. See, this is got two picture. First application is for ourselves. Second application is for the whole world. Okay?
Okay.
So, that is applicable for us now because we are in the truth now. We are accepting Christ. Correct, no? Mm-hmm. But the whole world, they are not yet accepted Christ. Their eyes is not yet opened. So, once they accept Christ and their eyes is opened, that will start apply to them.
Second death will apply.
Yeah. Now it is applied for us. For them, it will be in the 1,000 years.
Oh.
So regarding judgment, we'll see in the next class.
Okay, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Saiji brother, any questions, any doubts? Saiji brother, you're there? Any questions, any doubts?
No, brother.
Okay. Emmanuel brother, any doubts, any questions?
No, brother. Thank you.
Okay, I'll be sending the PDF notes. Please go through the notes. It is quite detailed. Any doubts, any questions, you can please ask next week. Okay? God bless. So,